The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, the woman in your life is you. This is Elaine B. Holt, and you're listening to Women's Spaces. And at the board this morning is my partner, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Beautiful day. We've had some heavy-duty rains and beautiful sunshine and all kinds of things happening. Anyway, I have two special guests today. Joining me in the studio is one of my favorite people, Janine Murray from Go Local, Sonoma County, and we'll be talking about the meaning of Go Local and its impact on the community. And I have another special guest with me, Kathleen Riley Bennett, who is from the American Association of University Women, AAUW, and she's the public policy chair, and we'll be talking about Title IX and how it is impacting women today. And just to give my listeners a little background, Title IX of the Education Amendment Act of 1972 is a federal law that states no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal assistance. You know, I remember the time, and, you know, Title IX is what's responsible for women being able to play sports, being able to compete in, you know, tennis and all the different other things that they do. And also that women, I remember one time women couldn't even play soccer. I mean, now we have women's soccer teams all over the world, and at one time that was not possible. So we are going to talk about that today. And I have some special, special happy birthdays. The first happy birthday I have is to someone that I have always been impressed with, and that's Frances Perkins. She was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Secretary of Labor, and the first woman to serve as a cabinet secretary, was the principal architect of the New Deal. Isn't that interesting? A woman brought in child labor laws. She brought in the 40-hour work week. She made it safer for people at work. In fact, on March 25th, 1911, Frances Perkins was having tea with friends in New York City's Washington Square when a group heard fire engine. Running to the scene of the fire, Frances Perkins witnessed in horror as 47 workers, mostly young women, jumped from the 8th and 9th floors of the building to their deaths on the street below. In all, 146 women died as flames engulfed the upper three stories of the building. The fire at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory was, she later proclaimed, the day the New Deal was born, because she wanted to see safety laws for workers. I mean, what happened in that fire is that before the women left, first of all, they used to lock the door. And then before the women left work, they would check their purses to make sure they did not take any material home. And so that day when the fire broke out, the door was locked. I mean, it was really, really sad. Well, in response to the fire, a Citizens Committee on Safety was established, which she ran. And then later on, she became Franklin Delano Roosevelt's first female Secretary of Labor, and did, brought all Social Security, all the things, all the benefits that we have today, not entitlements, but the benefits, because the way it was set up that the workers paid in and then when they retired, they would have some fun. So, I mean, poverty was horrible back then. So she really did and brought in something fabulous. Right now, people are trying to take that away from us. You know, ladies, we need to stand up just in honor of Frances Perkins. And another thing that was funny about her is she always wore this hat. And the reason she wore the hat is because her mother told her that she had a round face, and if she wore the hat, it would look more beautiful, so to speak. The second person that's having a birthday today, April 10th, is another one of my favorite people, and that's Dolores Huerta, who's an activist and labor leader who co-founded what would become the United Farm Workers. This is what Dolores had to say. Every moment is an organizing opportunity. Every person, a potential activist. Every minute, a chance to change the world. Dolores Huerta has worked to improve social and economic conditions for farm workers and to fight discrimination. Happy, happy birthday to Frances Perkins and Dolores Huerta. And a special shout out to Molly McGuire with the National Women's History Project, who's always sending me this information so I can let folks know what's going on. Well, this morning I'm going to make a commentary. And, you know, after I left the show on Monday evening, we had a meeting with the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach called ILERO. Well, last Monday evening, to protect the firing of their Community Advisory Committee, CAC, Chair Alicia Romano, for what I understood was for alleged misconduct at a meeting with the community. ILERO held a series of community engagement forums, which included law enforcement participation. Her behavior, this is why she was fired. Rolling her eyes because she felt frustrated over the information that was being given her that she felt was untrue. And second, she confronted a law enforcement person who was there in her group and said, no, you're not giving the right information. And because of that, she had a long meeting with the director, Jerry Tweet, and he ended up firing her. And not only did he fire her, but he had her removed from the committee. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The community was up in arms. You know, there are a group of us that worked for 3 years volunteering, going to meetings, yelling, bringing in facts, doing videos, doing all kinds of presentations so we could get somebody in here to do some sort of oversight with what's going on in our community. If you remember, on October 22nd, 2013, a young boy by the name of Andy Lopez was shot and killed, and a justified killing of a 13-year-old boy. And what happened was the community got up in arms and they demanded some sort of oversight. And so what ended up happening is they formed the Board of Supervisors, developed this group called the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. And this is what happened. Oh, I am really shocked. Well, I was there, and they allow you 3 minutes in front of the podium. And I decided that I was going to read what I read to my listeners because I want them to understand what's going on. We are living in a world where our freedoms are on the line. And we must recognize that. And we must not be afraid to speak out. And I think it's very, very important. And what's happening, when I see what happened to Alicia Ramon, is they're trying to quiet our voice once again. And that is not acceptable. You know, it's really interesting. I remember when I was watching and listening to Gloria Steinem, and she was talking about the women's movements in the 60s and the 70s. Well, the reason we got as far as we got is because we spoke out. We can't stop. We can't pull back. We have to continue, you know. And freedom, when a freedom or a right is lost, I guarantee you, it is very, very difficult to get it back. And some of these freedoms that we have as women, the right to choose, you know, the right to an equal salary, you know, the right to not be discriminated against, and also the right, you know, at one time, you're husbands could actually strike you and there would not be a problem. Today, if you're struck, you know, there's a lot more issues. And what happened was women fought for those things. And it's the same thing with this ILERO. We have fought to bring it to our community. And it's really very troublesome thinking why, just because this woman rolled her eyes and she confronted somebody who was telling an untruth and she gets fired. We had an officer who killed a 13-year-old boy, and he got promoted. So there's a lot to think about, folks. So I'm going to read what I wrote. What I read at the meeting on Monday night. I think it's very important that my listeners hear what I'm into and try to and understand. When you read in the paper some of the issues around this, at least you know from this program some of the things that were happening. Well, here's what I read. Good morning. Good evening. Excuse me. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I am a resident of Sonoma County since 1973. I am speaking as a private citizen. I am not here to bash anybody. I am here as a concerned citizen who gave 3 years of her life going to meeting after meeting, talking to people, doing radio reviews, and whatever I could do to help secure a safe environment for our young citizens, particularly young people of color in our community. What motivated me? The unnecessary killing of 13-year-old Andy Lopez. When I read on October 23rd in the Press Democrat that 7 bullets went into this young body, and as he lay dead, the police officer who shot and killed him, an adult who was considered a rifle expert, handcuffed this young boy, I was appalled. To this day, the officer has never apologized, and he was promoted. Soon after the killing, the Andy Lopez Coalition formed. Part of that coalition was named Andy's Youth, a group of young middle school students who organized a protest at the sheriff's department. When these young people showed up exercising their First Amendment rights, they were greeted by adult men in black uniforms standing on the roof pointing guns at them. I was appalled. These were middle school kids who lost a friend. After 3 years, a decision was made to create what is known as today as the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLERO, I-O-L-E-R-O. Although I question whether this would achieve or accomplish bringing justice to our community, I put my fears aside, gave it a chance, and now this happens. The dismissal of Alicia Ramon from the committee as both chair and member. I believe that Alicia Ramon was fired because, number one, she's pretty smart. She's a lawyer. She's an activist. She's brought many, many people to the task and has supported the community 1,000%. Number two, she's a woman. Number three, she's a Latina. I'm appalled what happened, because she was elected to be chair of this committee, and the committee was not consulted, and rather they were told that this was happening. We are seeking for our community from this body to ensure that we do have representation and justice will be served. Tell me how this action was an example of representation and justice. We live in a world that is falling apart, where justice has become secondary to protecting and covering up what truly is going on. Those in power believe we the people do not count. However, we the people do count. Those in power try to suppress the people's voice. We the people will not be silenced. We the people will constantly, constantly try to undermine or try to at least speak out when untruths are told. The first step we can take, we can begin to stop this by putting Alicia Ramon back on this committee as elected position of chair and allowing an open discussion on what the true expectations of this committee are. The big question I have, why should any committee member be censored when they are trying to right the wrong and to help bring justice into a community where justice seems to be such a low priority? Well, I was not the only one that spoke. I was the one of probably about 25 people, and I think it was just amazing. And I want to make another announcement, what's going to be happening at the Board of Supervisors tomorrow at 2 o'clock during a public comment. People are going to be coming and are going to be talking to our board and tell them what's happening and question how could this happen. And the recommendation that we're all making is, I think, is very reasonable. They should have a meeting with the executive committee, outline what the director did not like about what Ms. Ramon did, and let the board together decide how they're going to handle it, take a vote or however they do it, but do some sort of democratic process. You know, the problems that we're having in today's world is we have too much top-down. We need more cooperation. We need more of a democratic process for people working together. Well, you know, folks, that's a lot to think about, but that's what Women's Spaces is all about. It's about thinking. It's about knowing. It's about standing up. It's about having courage. That's why we, you know, when I came in this morning, it was really interesting. I hurt my back. And, just walking around, you know, I have a brace on it. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do this radio show? But, you know, I read my pledge. My self-esteem doesn't depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And I'm just going to do the very, very best I can. And that's what all of us are doing. We're just doing the very best that we can. But it's very important that we stand up for injustice, particularly women. I mean, we've been thrown under the bus far too long, and here we are in 2017, and they're telling us that they don't want to pay for our birth control. I mean, give me a break, and now they have someone that may be appointed to the Supreme Court that's going to be delighted in trying to take away our right to choose. So we need to come together. We need to come together in love. We need to come together in peace, and we need to come together with one idea in mind, the future for our children. Those born and unborn. It's very important. Well, that's a lot to think about. And right now, because we've had all this to think about, and I want you to sit back and duly think about it, we're going to take a musical break. And I'm going to play another song that I found that I just think is really delightful. It's called Rise Up. And when we return, I will be talking with Janine Murray from Go Local here in Sonoma County. So here we go with Rise Up.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. We gon' walk it out and move on days. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again.
Rise up. And I want to just give you a little taste of the lyrics, and I want to dedicate this part to my dear friend Susan Lamont. And I'll rise up like the day. I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up and I'll do it 1,000 times again. And I'll rise up high like the waves. I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I'll rise up and I'll do it 1,000 times again. For you, for you, for you. Wow. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, the Board of Directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Janine Murray. Welcome, Janine. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
It is so great to be back on the show, Elaine. Thank you for having me.
I know. It's been a while, you know. I mean, Janine was a regular, and I want to thank Go Local for allowing KBBF to become a member and that we switched and that we have a little plug for you every day. I consider you one of my sponsors, and I want to thank you. Thank you very much. Well, before we start, Janine, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, Janine Murray handles all the inquiries for Go Local. What is your title there?
Terry and I co-manage Go Local.
Okay, so she's a co-manager, mm-hmm. but also she handles all the inquiries for Go Local Sonoma County. She brings professional experience from both the business sector and the educational arena. As a junior high school and high school teacher for 7 years in Sonoma County's public schools, She's inspired a commitment to learning and sustainability in our youth. For Sonoma County locally owned companies, as a 2011 fellow of the Leadership Institute for Ecology and the Economy, Janine, wait a minute. What happened when in the leadership, you went to the leadership?
Yeah, I participated in the Leadership Institute course. It's a year-long course, and I'm a fellow of it.
So you become a fellow when you go through that. I've always wondered about that, you know. And one of the things that she is very passionate about is to help increase the quality of life in all of Sonoma County. She is managing member of Sustaining Technologies, LLC, and you may also come across her wailing on her accordion. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget this. She's a member of the Hubbub Club. I said, Janine, my goodness, it was, and looks beautiful when she does it. So welcome, Janine. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
You know, I think that kind of explains, you were kind of asking about what brought me from, you know, being a junior high school science teacher to working with locally owned businesses and organizations now. And I think, you know, we all here in this room, we want to make a difference. And there's so many different ways to do that. And I just, you know how the windy path that we travel through life, you just never know. I loved working with kids. I just found the public school system. It was something that I decided to shift away from, you know, after 7 years. I feel like it was a good 7 years of community service working in the schools. And then I wanted to learn a little bit about business and see how you can really even affect quicker change in different ways in the private sector. And now work with hundreds of locally owned businesses and organizations really helping to promote their message and to help drive business to these local folks.
Well, how did you get involved with Go Local, and what was the inspiration behind your being involved?
I was in a job that it paid the bills, but it didn't have meaning for me. And so I decided that during that time, I was just going to start to go to the Board of Supervisors meetings and to just attend different community events and to find something that resonated with me. And when I attended one of the first Go Local meetings, I felt like, wow, this is very powerful. It's an element of a more sustainable world that we kind of forget about the economic side. You know, we want to make a difference, but we don't think about how much impact we all have because we live in a society where we have to pay our bills and go to the grocery store, and the way we do that is a huge source of power, our choices that we make.
Well, you know, I know you're aware of this, but Ken and I are two of the co-founders of Go Local.
Yes.
And I remember when the concept came in, I said, yeah, that's right. Go local. We should keep our money in our community. You know, people who own businesses, when they live in the community, they support the community. All kinds of good things happen. And it was very, very exciting. And then when you and Terry took over and start moving it up, I mean, how many members do you have now?
Oh, we have something 400, 430, something like that.
Yay! Yeah. I remember when we had three members, we were so excited. Right. You know, actually, Freeman Brothers, Guayaki, I think were the first two members that really supported the concept, and I remember talking about it, and I just want to congratulate you and Terry. You've done such a great job. I mean, 400 men. I mean, we are members. KBBF is a member, and also Ken and I, Norton and Holt Business Solutions, are members. So thank you. I want to thank you for all your hard work and
Absolutely.
For building it. I mean, it's just, actually, it's a wonderful, wonderful concept. So talk a little bit about, since Go Local opened the doors and some of the things that they have done, what is the impact they've had on our community? What is your belief? How do you think it's educated our population?
Well, that's a great question, Elaine, and we're very excited because we just did a survey of residents, Sonoma County residents, this last fall, last November 2016, and we had a really good response to the survey, and what we found it was that 65% of those people surveyed shop more with locally owned businesses than they did 5 years ago. And so we feel like there's this slow trend towards a greater consciousness about when you pull out your wallet, what kind of choices do I have and what impact is that? It's sort of like the cause, you know, the cause that we want to fight for. Sometimes we forget that it's even relates to our grocery store and our banking. And sometimes we kind of separate those, you know, into our passions and the things we believe in, and then just taking care of all of the business of the day. When that is, we pack a whole lot of economic power in the way that we take care of the things we need.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I write for the North Bay Business Magazine, and I'm writing 5 articles now on the best of. And all of the people, all of the winners are pretty much local. And it's amazing what people have to say about it. So, you know, I just support that concept so, so greatly. We'll talk about some of the things. You know, one of the things that I find that is stunning to me is when I go into, like, say, Oliver's, or even when I go into Safeway, you walk in the door and they have a big sign, these are our local products. And I know that is part of the impact that the Go Local organization has had on the community, that not only the local owners but the corporate owners are focusing more on local, which is really a big step.
And that's where we have to really be careful, and that's where Oliver's does such a great job, and we here at Go Local want to define what does local really mean, because when Safeway says local, they mean that their produce can be shipped in an 8-hour truck drive, so it might be from, you know, the border of in Southern California. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different kind of local.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
So, it's 8-hour drive away. So it might be, you know, way down in Southern California that it came from. So local, that's kind of a local washing thing, you know. That's like, what does that really mean? So when you look at the Go Local Pocket Guide, it is Sonoma County-based businesses. And when you go into an Oliver's Market, their tagline says, where local means Sonoma County. So when they, you know, have the made local on there, it is Sonoma County.
So there's a distinction then.
Sure.
There's a real distinction. Well, that's good to know.
It needs to be defined. And it's not that Safeway is doing anything bad. They just chose not to define that local. Local means California,
it's interesting.
That's better than, you know, the apples coming from Chile, you know, that at least they're coming from California. So it's just important for us. I think I think consumers, and especially in Sonoma County, have inquiring minds, and we actually realize it does make a difference, and there is an impact, because when you get those apples that are locally produced, then you're actually supporting jobs in Sonoma County. You're helping your neighbors and friends.
It's really an amazing concept, Go Local. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it didn't come up a lot sooner than it did, because there's so much, it's such a difference. You know, also just meeting with one another. I know at the mix, when you start looking around, you say, wow, there's that many businesses in our community and that many people own business, so it's great. Well, I know one of the things that you have, in fact, I have to confess, Janine, this guide I am so proud of. I remember when Kelly Rodula was running the Go Local thing, and I said, Kelly, we need a catalog, you know, and she says, absolutely, and we made up this catalog, because she had a catalog company, her family, and we made up this catalog, and it was the first catalog of Go Local. It went nowhere. So I'm so proud of this, that you have all the members that were in it. So talk a little bit about the guide. Why is that important, and where can you find it, and how do people become members?
Sure. So all the Go Local information is on our website, golocal.coop. The end of our website is a co-op instead of .com or .org. So it's golocal.coop. And you can find your listing for Norton & Holtz Business Solutions and for KBBF. And you can look at their, it goes right to your Facebook feed and a description and links to your website and business hours.
But so another thing I want to throw in is that whenever I have an event or something's happening, you're so gracious. I mean, it always goes on the website. I mean, there's all kinds of little benefits.
Any community member can actually go to the Go Local website and submit events. You can actually do that. But when it's a member, one of our members, then we actually also, you know, try to put it on Facebook if we can. Anyway, so for people who prefer to look online, our business listings and Go Local information are there. And then we also print this pocket guide twice a year. We refresh it 2 times a year. And it's just another way for people to take a look at businesses. If they want to shop locally owned, they can look through personal services, food and drink, entertainment, nonprofits, all that kind of stuff. And you can pick them up at a number of Go Local merchants. You can see in the beginning of the pocket guide where they are. They're mostly picked up by the merchants who actually give out Go Local cards for free. How great is that, too? So you can actually pick up a free card, say, at Pacific Market or Copperfield's Books, and pick up one of these pocket guides as well.
Well, and it's interesting with the pocket guide, where I keep it is near my phone book.
Smart.
You know, because this way you can see what's going on locally, you know, and you make decisions that way. And it's really a very important guide, I think. And also, you have a magazine that's come out. Talk a little bit about that magazine and what is the mission?
Made Local magazine is a beautiful magazine that's focused on the food system. And basically, it's sort of like the Go Local Pocket Guide, but it's focused on, well, it's actually a magazine of stories, and it's focused on the food system, food, beverage, and local growing and agriculture. And so there's always stories about people who are working hard in the community and contributing to supporting the local food system. And the reason we came up with the magazine is that the Food System Alliance, Sonoma County Food System Alliance, worked together, this alliance of agencies and nonprofits, drafted a food action plan, a way to make sure that there's social equity and that there's a local focus and that there's environmental sustainability in our food plan for the next, you know, many years.
Like, so no pesticides.
Right. And so they drew up this food plan, but then we realized, well, now, okay, great. Now it's sitting on a website, but this food plan is so powerful. How can we help educate people about it? And that's when we thought, let's make a magazine and tell the stories with beautiful photography. And you can pick up the magazine for free at locally owned grocery stores throughout Sonoma County, and also Copperfield's Books, Western Farm, a few other spots like that. But go to your Oliver's, your Community Market, Pacific Market, Petaluma Market, Molesbury's, Big John's, all of those places, and you'll find a rack, and you can pick up a free magazine. We try to make it easy.
And it is beautiful. And, you know, and what's important about it is when you start looking at, you know, I remember when I was growing up, I took a nutrition class. And I remember the teacher saying, you are what you eat. And I was so confused. What do you mean you are what you eat? You know, and here we are some 40 years later, I finally understand, yes, you are what you eat. And, you know, if you want to, you know, I'm 77 years old. And at the age of 30 is when I decided to go organic, you know, and to make sure I was very careful of what I ate, what kind of food, you know, what the processing was. And here I am. Thank goodness. I mean, I've maintained a pretty healthy life. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment right now, Janine. Are there any special events that are coming up or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? And also, please give the website again.
Yes, the website is golocal.coop. to learn more about Go Local. And we're a co-op, so the members make Go Local happen. And we really count on the community. If you're a shopper and you're in a store that isn't a Go Local member, to ask them, hey, I wish you'd become a Go Local member to support these other locally owned businesses. And if you like to use your rewards card, tell them, hey, offer something. And you can get information about how to get a card and how to, if you have a locally owned business or know someone with a locally owned business.
Wait a minute. You talk about this card. Mm-hmm. What is the card?
Go Local Rewards Card is a free card that you can pick up at many Go Local merchants, and you can use it to save at locally owned businesses. And you use one card that can be used at dozens and dozens of places, actually over hundreds of places. So, for example, if you use your card at Pacific Market in Sebastopol or Santa Rosa,
I spend $100 there.
If you spend $100 at Pacific Market, their rebate is 2%. So $2 will get loaded onto your card so that the next time you shop there or at another place, $2 gets taken off your bill.
Okay, so what you do is you have the card. Mm-hmm. When you buy something, they put it on, and and then they also take it off if you want to use it for payment. But it doesn't all happen at the same time. You have to.
It's a rebate towards your next purchase. It's sort of like paying it forward in your community. That's the idea. And some places you actually get immediate discounts. Like at Mambo's Pizza, they just give you 10% off.
Okay, so it works. So and can they get the card through you also?
They get the card at these Go Local merchants. Yeah.
Okay, so they need to get the guide.
And the card for free, both of them.
Mm-hmm. And is there a card in the guide? Or
There's a stand at these stores and with the pocket guides and the card, and you just pick up one of each.
Oh, that's so neat. Mm-hmm. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Well, let's give our website one more time.
Yes, and I'll also share the Made Local Magazine website. It's madelocalmagazine.com. Many of all of the stories are up there, and there are just wonderful, wonderful interviews and feature stories. And then the Go Local website, golocal.coop, golocal.coop.
Well, Janine Murray, I want to thank you once again for being such a wonderful, wonderful guest, and a special thank you for all that you're doing for our local businesses, and a special thank you for allowing KBBF to be a member, and also for you kind of exchanging.
It's reciprocal. We appreciate the trade. Yeah.
I just love listening to you when before we go on the show, and there you are, our Go Local.
It's nice.
It just
Thanks.
Makes you feel good. Well, Janine Murray, thank you once again for being on Women's Faces, and I want to wish you all the luck in the world.
Back to you. Thanks so much for doing the show, Elaine.
Oh, it's just my pleasure. Anyway, I tell you something, there's so many wonderful women in this community. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I will be playing, I love it, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around by Lydia Violet. And when we come back, I will be talking with Kathleen Riley from the American Association of University Women. Yes, we're going to keep on talking. We're going to keep on marching. We're going to keep, and I'm not going to let hate turn me around, that's for sure. And there's so much hate in the world. You know, we need to change that. Both love and hate are both four-letter words. I'd rather have love than hate any day. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to welcome my guest here in the studio with me, Kathleen Riley. Kathleen, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Well, let me tell our listeners just a little bit about you. You know, I mean, I am so proud to have someone from the American Association of University Women. You know, I myself have a master's degree, and I know how hard it is for women to go to college, to get a degree, and do some of the things that women have done today. So welcome, welcome, Kathleen. Kathleen Riley Bennett is the public policy chair of the American Association of University Women. They call AAUW in Santa Rosa. She's took this position in 2014. She has a background as a school librarian for 28 years, and she also taught middle school in Ohio and California. She volunteers for the Santa Rosa Symphony League since 2010, and actually, I find this so interesting, and I need to find out about this. Reading for the blind on the radio while living in Cleveland. She enjoys swimming and photography. And welcome again. Welcome, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Elaine.
Before we start talking, talk about this radio show you had about reading for the blind.
Oh, well, it seems so off topic to me and personal, but it's very nice of you to ask about it. There's a program available in Cleveland run by the Society for the Blind. They record books for the blind and make tapes that are given out to people that are blind or dyslexic. And they have a box all of their own, a receiver. So if you're blind, you get that receiver box, and that's how you hear all of their programming that probably goes about 12 hours a day. There was a time when they were a limited broadcasting station like yours is, but I believe they're still doing the boxes at this time. My husband, Jerry Bennett, was in advertising at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and the two of us would go down on Sunday mornings a couple times a month, and we would read the Cleveland Plain Dealer Sunday morning edition to the people who were blind. So it was really fun to do.
You were actually on the radio.
Yes, right. It was a live broadcast on the radio. And, of course, we'd be worried sometimes because the newspaper wouldn't come or somebody would steal it, you know, from in front of the door.
Well, that's
radio.
But
it all worked out. It all worked out. Yes, live radio. That's live radio.
But I also want to tell you something a little bit about KBBF. KBBF actually hit – you're being listened to by 18 counties. We're actually streaming on the air at kbbf-fm.org so people can tell their friends that we're streaming. And we're on 24 hours a day. So it's an amazing and we're the first are the first bilingual station here in Sonoma in the United States.
Amazing.
So it's an amazing thing. Well, you know, that's very interesting that you had. When I read that, I thought, you know, women, we're involved in so many different things, and it's wonderful having guests. They're always something different, like Janine was from high school and junior high school, and you with the radio. It's just amazing. Well, talk a little bit about the AAUW. Give us a little history about it, and what does it do? I mean, it's an organization. What is its purpose, and what does it do for the community?
Well, I'll try to be accurate. I will just give you my thoughts on AAUW. First of all, I'd like to say if anyone is listening who has access to a computer while you're listening to the show, in order to find the information about AAUW, that's all you have to put in the search engine is AAUW and then Santa Rosa. The American Association of University Women is a national organization, and we welcome everyone who's completed an associate's degree and above. So don't let the idea of university put you off in terms of considering joining us for various activities. We also have a state organization. There's the California division of AAUW. And we, the Santa Rosa branch, is part of the Northern California division. That includes Ukiah, Humboldt, Healdsburg, and then, of course, Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Napa, and Marin. So when we have events, we often see people come in from all of these various Northern California locations. What else should I tell you about AUW?
Well, how did it come to Santa Rosa? Do you know anything about the Santa
Rosa
chapter?
Well, the Santa Rosa chapter has been around a long time, just as the Healdsburg branch has been. So I really can't speak to that. The Santa Rosa branch includes activities for many many interests. We have book groups. We have women who love gardening, so they would join the gardening group. We have something called Hot Topics, and I believe this is run on a national level. So we would get our political information from the national organization. It's not something that we would develop ourselves, really. We would just discuss the topics as they seem to apply here.
Talk a little bit about the book. What is the book club?
Oh, the book club.
That's something that's very important to you.
It is, and thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about that. There's actually two things that I would like to say about our book clubs. We now have five of them, because so many people are interested in books and sharing their experience of reading a book. If you wanted to join AUW and the only thing you did was join a book club and go to the talks or discussions, it would be well worth it. As you began your program today, Molly McGuire had given you some information on Frances Perkins. And coincidentally, our book club read a book. I'm sorry I can't bring the title up right now, but we read a book about the Shirtwaist Fire. And it was told from the point of view of a woman who had escaped the Shirtwaist Fire. But she was so afraid because of that experience that she took a job working on Ellis Island with the immigrants, and she was afraid to leave the island. So the book is about how other people that she works with discovered her problem that she was keeping to herself, and she eventually got over the shock of witnessing all of her friends. The Shirtwaist Fire was all women employees.
Let's give it the right title here. It was called the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. The event. That's not the title of the book, but that's the event.
That was the event that happened.
Yes. And this, you know, all young women are working in this factory, as you said. And she watched them as they jumped from the burning building. And of course, it's something that you never forget.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You know, people forget. They forget. And my father used to say.
Well, I never knew.
I know, but even not knowing, but people forget how important unions are, that they brought in the safety consideration.
Mm-hmm.
They brought
in fair wages. Yes.
They brought in the 40-hour week. You know, I mean, we really have to be aware of them. When we listen to our new Secretary of Labor saying that, you know, unions are not necessary, it's very scary. Unions brought us where we are. So
No, it's fine. Catherine Patterson, who is a well-known children's author, wrote a book called Liddy. And it is about the factory conditions that young women worked under in Maine when they used to spin the threads that were used to make fabrics here in the United States. Those women worked 14-hour days, and they did not live longer than perhaps 25 or 30 years old, you know, to be 25 or 30 years old. Anyway, the book I did want to tell you about, without digressing and talking about any others, is the one that we're going to talk about in my book club, which is the Wednesday night club, next Wednesday, which is day after tomorrow. It's a book that everyone in your listening audience would benefit from reading. It's called All the Light We Cannot See, and it's a novel written by Anthony Doerr, and it won the Pulitzer Prize. So it's worth taking the time to listen to it on a CD or to read it yourself. And I'll read you just a little bit of the description of this book. It was written, coincidentally, by a man who went to the same preschool that my niece went to, And he got his high school education at a school that I drove by every day during those 28 years that I worked. And in his landing page on his website, he said, "Where I come from, it would be considered pretentious to call yourself a writer." And here he turned out to win the Pulitzer Prize. All the Light We Cannot See is about Mary Laurer, who lives with her father in Paris near the Museum of Natural History, where he works as the master of its thousands of locks. When she is six, Marie Laurer goes blind, and her father builds a perfect miniature of their neighborhood so she can memorize it by touch and navigate her way home. When she is 12, the Nazis occupy Paris, and father and daughter flee to the walled citadel of St. Milo.
Wow, that gives you a real taste of a little girl, you know, when the Nazis taken over. So that's interesting.
Adult book. It's really, you know, it's definitely adult, not like Catherine Patterson's.
How do people get a hold of you if they want to join the, if they want to go to the book club? This is just exclusively for members?
Well, it would be exclusively for members, so you would need to certainly join the club. And there are five, as I said, that are meeting. So I would say go to the website, once again, AAUW Santa Rosa, and follow the Contact Us links so that you can possibly join. I'm sure you could join. All you have to do is ask. Then you could come into one of the book clubs or one of the many other things we have. We go to gourmet lunches. We have Culture Club. We just went to see Bouquets to Art as part of the Culture Club.
Well, your position is very, very interesting. You're the you're the head of the Public Policy Committee, and also you are very interested in Title IX. This is very important. You know, I remember when I was going to Sonoma State, we got a letter from someone in Arkansas. I don't remember where it was, but all of a sudden this young girl wanted to play soccer, and they weren't going to allow her to do it, and it wasn't until we changed Title IX. So why don't you talk a little bit about Title IX and what it does today and what impact it's having on women? I mean, I think there's a little bit of danger going on that we might be losing some of the rights that we've gained.
Well, I think we may have some problems escalate that are currently occurring on co-educational campuses. I want to just read a little thing that's prepared, and then I'll go into a little bit of ad-libbing about the event that we just had, had two speakers. We had two speakers. One was from Sonoma State University, and the other speaker was from Santa Rosa Junior College. But to talk about the positive effects of Title IX. Since Title IX's passage in 1972, opportunities for female students to participate in athletics have increased dramatically. Before the law passed, there were fewer than 300 female varsity athletes at the university level in the United States. There are now more than five times that number. Our first speaker at the program that we had on Title IX was Leslie Pfeiffer, who's teaching in the Petaluma schools. And she was a recipient of a Title IX scholarship. About 40% of her tuition was paid at Lewis and Clark because she was a swimmer. And she just gave us a wonderful talk about the benefits that Title IX gave her. She also said that one of our athletes, Molly, who went to the Olympics this year as a swimmer, also got some counseling because the demands of her swimming program and her college education were a bit too much to handle. Title IX paid for that counseling so that she had help learning how to manage everything that was expected of her. The negative side of women having more rights in sports was also brought home by some of the attendees at this particular presentation, which was held at the Villa. After Stephanie Jarrett gave her talk from Santa Rosa Junior College, And Joy Suzuki finished with her from Sonoma State University, the mother of another swimmer in the area, mentioned to me that girls who go into athletics are required to socialize with the boys in sports. Title IX now protects women and others from sexual assault and sexual harassment. And sexual violence, unfortunately, is occurring on campuses. And unfortunately, what they call the red times of year, or the red zones for sexual assault to occur, is during the first week of school, and also in sports, in the sports fields. So unfortunately, some of the men in sports feel entitled to the things that they want and will sometimes just take them. And women need to speak up when these things happen, and they still don't. It's still very hard to report these things.
So does Title IX protect that?
Yes, and that's what these two women from the local colleges told us about. They are the people that you would go to and talk to about something that has happened to you, and you need to go to them right away and report a problem that you have if you've had something like this happen to you, so that you don't feel intimidated. Their job is to make the campus safe for everyone who can be victimized by sexual assault.
So that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. There's those kind of protections.
Oh, yes, it is just wonderful.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it, and we're coming to the end of our segment here. And what I'd like to know, is there any events coming up, anything that you'd like to announce, anything special?
Well, I'm sorry. I should be able to announce something special, but I don't have another one at this point.
And how can people join? Just they can go to the website?
Go to the website, and you will find the information there. Susan Parkinson is the person who provides our new members with information. I'm sorry to shuffle papers while I'm on the air. And Susan Parkinson's email address is SUSPARK at Comcast.net.
So you could email her. SUSPARK at Comcast.net.
Yes, you could email her and ask her for membership information.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Kathleen Riley, for coming on and sharing about the AAUW, American Association for University Women. Here we have a Sonoma County chapter, and we also have a Santa Rosa chapter, a Healdsburg. Actually, there are five chapters in the area, so people have lots of choices. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces, and thank you for all the good work we do. And another group women can join. Well, I want to thank Janine Murray from Go Local for being such a wonderful guest, and also to Kathleen Riley from the American Association of University Women for sharing with us about Title IX. And I've got to tell you something, now that they talk about the book club, I've been looking for a book club myself. So that's something that I definitely intend to explore. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on Monday evening. I'm so excited to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements. And if you have any announcements you'd like to have in the air, like birthdays, anniversaries, any of that other good stuff, a shout out to Ken's mother, Mary Norton, for a wonderful visit. Remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight about that. This is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.